Live and recommended by 3 out of 5 panelists, it's the Geek Show.
We'll all assemble here in a moment, all right? We're having some issues. It'll be fine. Don't worry. We'll get to it right after this.
After this? After this. I'm trying to stall for time.
Rob is running late. He'll be here. Rebecca is on her bathroom floor. She won't be here.
No, she quit the show.
Oh, she did?
What?
Yeah.
Nobody told me.
She found out she could make more money with day trading.
Day trading. Yeah. That makes sense.
I don't know. She quit. No, she didn't quit. Stop asking if people quit, people.
Yeah, she's...
We don't know.
She's just on her bathroom floor right now is all.
She's feeling yucky, and we hope she feels better soon. Oh.
Yeah.
And there's Rob.
Hello.
There's Rob.
Hello.
Told you he didn't quit.
There he is, Robert Neal, everybody.
Hello. Oh, stupid marathon traffic.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, is there a marathon today? I don't know anything about running. I hate it.
Up here in the Northlands, we have this marathon that happens every year, and it's... running through right now South Salt Lake, and I was in South Salt Lake for something. I figured I'll do this, come down this road, and I'm like, oh, that's traffic. Nope. Crap.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. It's bad. Yes. Lee George Cade, everybody.
I'm doing good. How are you?
So good.
Hey, big congratulations to, I don't have his name in front of me right now. So to that one guy that won the caption contest, good job, buddy.
We had some
good ones this week.
I forgot to play.
It was actually really tricky, but
there were some solid ones this week.
Very solid. So if you're a Patreon member, you can actually take part in our thumbnail naming contest because we're not doing dirty, filthy AI anymore.
That's right.
Or thumbnails.
And you'll see our thumbnails on all of our social media posts, on the Twitters and the Facebooks and all that.
Yeah.
Quad T, Too Tall Tony is here. He has no marathon to interrupt him.
What is running?
Yeah, the only place people run in Utah County is to swig.
I was going to say, to swig or so delicious or whatever.
Now, Tony, how do you feel about this whole flavored Dr. Pepper thing that's happening? Because they announced another one.
Oh, I'm 100% in. I love the strawberries and cream one they did last year.
I have not tried that one. Good. And then this new one, I can't remember. Oh, God, we talked about it this week. What is it?
If I wasn't staying away from sugary drinks as much as I could, I'd probably already have a 12-pack of whatever the new one is. They do have a zero sugar flavor of it, but I...
Not the same, is it?
We'll see. We'll see if it's good.
Have you tried the Chipotle barbecue, Dr. Pepper?
No.
It's really good.
I want some of that.
Yeah.
Oh, Dr. Pepper.
Don't forget about our host, Mr. Kerry Jackson.
Hi. Monday through Friday, 6 to 10, x96.com, for at least another year.
He's a song from the 70s.
Just so you know. All right. Let's begin. This one, our first item, it's been requested by our friend Egg Foo, the biggest Transformer fan that I know. And I mean that in his enthusiasm and his height.
Right.
And he's lost a considerable amount of weight. He's still the biggest Transformers fan I know.
Exactly.
But not in weight.
But we got to look at this. It's the trailer for Transformers 1 is what it's called. And it's Brian Tyree Henry as D-16. You may know him as Megatron.
Oh, okay. I was like, D-16. What is that?
Scarlett Johansson as Elita 1. Keegan-Michael Key as B-127, who you know better as Bumblebee.
Bumblebee.
John Hamm, Lawrence Fishburne, they're all in there. And, Optimus Prime, who is not Optimus Prime, of course, is Thor, Chris Hemsworth.
That's a good voice cast.
He hasn't grown his beard yet,
but
Optimus Prime.
It's go take a look at this trailer. It's kind of interesting. I mean, I was telling Tony about this before we started. I see what they're doing. I see what they're trying to do. And it's got a lot of jokes in there, more jokes than you're used to with the Transformers franchise. I get what they're trying to do. I think they're just going to piss off a lot of fans.
There better be a D's nuts joke in there somewhere.
I have noticed that, especially since the internet era started, that fans have been really grounded and supportive of the franchises they love.
Totally.
Totally. Yeah. Eric says ILM is doing the animation.
Wait, hold on a second. Lean into the camera a little. Lean into the camera a little bit, Lee. I want to see something. Yes, he has a beard. Evil universally. Got it.
Evil universally.
I've had this beard all along. I don't know what you're talking about, Robert Neal.
But this is the, Optimus Prime and Megatron were friends at one time.
Or they were lovers at one time.
It's one of those stories. Best buddies turned mortal enemies.
I just realized why the trailer was a little off-putting to me. Gratuitous use of the Rolling Stones' Start Me Up. That's one that we could let rest for a while, I think. That's one we could let it rest.
First they use it in Harold and Maude back in 71. Sorry, that was really out there. I apologize now.
That was a deep, deep
cut. That's not the worst that's going to happen today. I
appreciated it. The other trailer, and I watched this one. I know you guys probably didn't, is for the latest M. Night Shyamalan movie.
They still let him work?
Yeah, they do. It's called Trap.
That's all we have on it so far.
Now, here's the thing. The trailer lets you know what the plot is.
We have a trailer.
Okay. I'm not spoiling anything. So, you know, he's the king of the twist, of course.
Yes.
But it's Josh Hartnett. Now, this thing opens August 9th.
He's still getting work?
Follows a father and daughter who go to a concert of a popular pop star played by Saleka, who is apparently M. Night Shyamalan's daughter. But anyway.
Nepotism.
Nepo baby.
Josh Hartnett notices something is kind of off. There are a lot of police everywhere.
And the Rolling Stones Start Me Up won't playing.
There's so many police that he asks a guy selling, you know, T-shirts for the concert. And the guy there says, you know, you hear about that serial killer, the slasher or whatever it's called?
Slashy Steve.
The cops found out that he's here, and this is a trap to catch him.
It's a trap.
Well, this is what the twist is that we find out that Josh Hartnett is the serial killer.
He's Slashy Steve?
They told you that in the trailer?
They told you that in the trailer.
Oh,
there better be another twist.
Yeah, but it turns out they're all Slashy Steve. Everybody there is Slashy Steve. They're all serial killers.
I can't remember the name of the serial killer.
I wrote this movie yesterday.
But, so he's letting you know this is it.
No.
I mean, because there's a great part where Josh Hartnett pulls out his phone and looks at video of a person he has trapped in his basement, you know, it's a live camera feed.
Yeah.
Well, we all got one of those. I mean, that's no big deal.
I got tricked into watching an M. Night Shyamalan movie recently. It was called Skeleton Foot. At least that's what I think it was called, because that's what's on the poster. A lady had a skeleton foot. And they went to a beach, and everybody turned into, they died.
That's called Old, isn't it?
And then that's how I felt when it was over.
Older Beach or something like that.
It was called Old Skeleton Beach. Foot. And at the end, they were just like, we did pharmaceuticals on these people, and they all aged so that we could get medicine from them. The end.
Yeah, it's just called Old. Said,
curses M. Night Shyamalan, and never again. It's never happening again. He'll never trick me.
It's called Boca Raton.
Boca Raton.
Yeah, that's it. Everybody who goes there immediately ages. They just
a thousand years.
Anyway, so there's the trailers that were released this week. Let's do some quick housekeeping, and then we'll get on with the rest of the show. Lee George Cade?
I'm here.
How are you feeling?
Right now?
Yeah.
A little whimsical.
I couldn't tell.
I got 12 days left until a pretty major surgery, so I find that the closer I get to it, the more whimsical I become.
That's in 12 days. So yes. Another financial setback coming in 12 days.
Yeah, I got five lords a-leaping.
Yep.
That's a different 12 days.
He's got good insurance, but as we all know, that's not enough, and he's heading up to the $1 million range with the treatments and the surgeries and all that. So there's the Venmo. That money goes directly to Lee. There's no middleman or anything. Just goes directly to Lee. If you can help out, every little bit helps.
For those of you listening, I described the QR code, but there's so many dots.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's three squares.
Yeah.
Squiggle.
He's got it.
Navajo blanket. And then, yeah.
Just enter it in there. Anyway. Geekshow.store is still up and about, and we love seeing you wearing our stuff. So that's all available at geekshow.store.
Well, and we need to put a qualifier in there. Please wear our stuff from the store. Stop breaking into my house and taking my shirts.
Oh, okay.
Because they're my shirts.
And then there's, of course, our Patreon.
You said welcome.
And then there's our Patreon. GeekshowGotThisCovered.com is the Patreon link. And you can go there and see stuff. And I promise you I'm going to get Time Closet videos this week. I promise you. All right?
You know what? You might have one or two in the bank that I need to put up.
That sounds like something please. A time traveler would say.
I'll check.
Please, please. Because it was, you know, contract stuff and all this happening this week. I was unable to do it.
Well, congratulations on being employed for another year, Carrie.
At least another year. That's the way it's looking. So,
yay!
Thank you. Thank you.
But I assure you, if next year they don't pick up the contract, there is a spot right next to me on the corner of State and Main.
You got
it. Yeah, because I can take my act. I can make it a duet, a duo.
Terrific. I look forward to working with you.
Thank you. I got a Statue of Liberty costume for you.
Better learn how to juggle. Not
no, that's,
balls,
that's, that's what Lee does.
Okay.
Yeah. He's well, that and the... juggling and pelvic thrusting. That's
yes.
That's where we get the tips.
Yeah. See, when I play the Statue of Liberty, I go for realism. I don't move.
Yeah?
That's me standing.
Do you paint yourself green?
Yes. I was going to go with the original copper, but it's the green.
Yeah, no one would be like, you're wrong color, buddy, because they don't know.
How long did it take for the patina to go on the Statue of Liberty to turn green when they first put it there? Was it pretty quick?
I imagine it was probably not
pretty
long.
Fast. Hey, we're going to stick this in the middle of a harbor.
Coppery for like what? Like a month? And then it was green by then?
Yeah.
You remember when they cleaned it in the 80s?
Did they clean it so
they cleaned
we can
the
see
torch.
The copper?
They cleaned the torch and the torch was all coppery.
I remember seeing pictures of that. Yeah.
Everything else, it was just too green. They couldn't scrub it off. That kind of green never scrubs out.
All right. Let's see. Here we go.
Get the green out.
The great news that we got this week
30 was years.
Fallout. What? 30
That's
years?
How long it took?
Wow. 30 or 3 years?
Rob. 30 or 3?
Well, it was that French copper.
Approximately 30 years.
Oh, wow. That's crazy.
Rob, you're a little behind. Do you want to reboot?
It'll catch up, I bet.
The time bug has held you back a bit. So
that time bug.
It's up to you.
Piss me off.
All right. Good news
I'll
that we got this
shortly.
Week. Well, see? That's what I was telling you. Yeah. The time bug got him.
No. That was like a solid 5-8 seconds. Wow-wee.
Yeah. Anyway.
That was wild.
I knew we were in trouble when we saw Starfleet Academy behind him.
Exactly. The good news this week, Fallout has been officially renewed.
Woo!
For like, season 2.
One of the best shows ever made.
I would agree.
It deserves a second season.
It makes me very happy, this show.
Yeah.
You know, and it's fun. Here's the thing about this show. Go back and watch it again. There's a lot of stuff you miss.
It's so good.
Lots of stuff. The actor that plays Maximus, he's really good. I like him.
He really is. He really is. There's a scene, and it's I think it's in the sixth episode, maybe the seventh, where he goes. Oh, it's right after he kisses Lucy and
Aaron Moten.
Like, and he's all happy and starry eyed, and then he goes to that dead eyed stare. Like that's not easy to do, kids.
No, he's awesome.
Yeah, he's very good. And of course,
the whole
cast.
Ella Purnell, amazing. Walton Goggins, give the guy an Emmy. Holy cow!
Oh, you know how many people are going to be naming their dogs Walton Doggins?
So, let me write that down, actually.
And we did confirm that the Brotherhood of Steel suits were practical.
Oh, awesome.
Yes. I got to see the team that made his suit on Instagram. And
so since everyone in Hollywood's so short, all you really need to do is get a guy my size or larger to put a suit on, and they'll
True.
Look giant compared to everyone else.
Mm-hmm. True. Unless you're in a John Hamm show.
Well.
I'm glad they renewed it so quickly, rather than making us hang on for so long.
Yeah.
Let's see. I'm trying to find the, all we have is Rotten Tomatoes ratings. The streaming people have decided they're going to start being stingy with their numbers.
Oh, they've been like that since the beginning.
Yeah. They've just out and out said, we're not going to. So Rotten Tomatoes doesn't mean much to me, but 94% if it means something to you,
Kyle,
filming,
Kyle in our comments said that he just realized his second viewing through that the ghoul is wearing the cowboy shirt that he was wearing at the birthday party at the beginning of the show.
Yeah.
Throughout the entire.
And you didn't realize it. You didn't realize it.
No.
I hadn't noticed that. No.
See, that's what I'm saying. Go back and watch, because we went back and watched the last episode again, and I didn't realize how much I missed.
There's only 268 more Ink Spot songs, so I think they're only good for three more seasons.
Filming for the second season is expected to move to California from where they were filming before, which...
Utah.
First season was largely shot in New York and Utah.
Yep.
But because our legislature couldn't get their shit together, moving it to California for the tax credit.
I think California offered them $20 million?
25.
Oh, yeah.
And the show has a budget of $152 million. So,
how much did they offer us to move to California?
they ordered us to get out, Lee.
Oh, that's right.
They paid us to stay here.
Yeah.
Not in anything useful. It was in fresh air and sunshine. But
yeah,
you know.
I think they handed Carrie a hat filled with mini bottles and pointed north.
Oh, so, there you go. That way. Anyway, I'm not sure how I feel about this next one. I'm always a show me what you got kind of person. But we're finally getting a Space Mountain movie. I mean, this is something that's been kicking around forever. But here's the pedigree. Here's who.
This is the best graphic I could find.
Thank you. Here's who's putting it together. We got these guys are known for their action movie writing. Josh Applebaum and Andre Nemec. And also the people behind the spy series Citadel. And showrunners of the Netflix live-action Cowboy Bebop are involved.
I like that show.
Yeah, I know. It's okay.
Let's see. Jonathan Elric from Rideback, the banner that was behind the Netflix Avatar The Last Airbender series, is producing. Here's the interesting thing about... Oh, no, wait. Now, here's what the writers have done. Here's some of their stuff. Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol.
Oh.
The two live-action Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle movies from the mid-2010s are also things that they have worked on.
That's the Michael Bay ones, right?
I think, yes. But anyway, what's interesting about this is that there's no lore, really. I mean,
There's his brother and sister, Tony and Tia, and they've got magical powers, and their uncle takes them in a Winnebago to... Oh, sorry, that's Escape to Witch Mountain.
That's another thing.
Yeah.
That's a different thing.
Sorry.
But, I mean, there's a little bit of lore, just a tiny bit. So they can, as far as story goes, they can do what they want. Of course, the first Space Mountain, which I thought was in Disneyland first, but it was 2 years later. 75 at Disney World is when it opened, and then Disneyland in 77. But, yeah, there's no overarching theme or memorable characters, that sort of thing. Just, you know. The closest thing it gets to any thematics is during Star Wars days when it becomes Hyperspace Mountain.
I just call it.
Doesn't change anything in it, does it?
Doesn't change the ride, but...
Yeah.
Tony and I have the same experience on Space Mountain, which is, damn, that's very close to my head.
Yeah. Oh, ow. Oh.
Yeah.
Ain't that the truth.
Have you done it with kids and have them go, I do not like this ride. I want off right now.
Really?
Because that's always fun.
Oh, yeah.
Is that what happened with the girls?
The first time we took it to Disneyland, the oldest one, we got on there, everybody's like, okay. By the time we got done with the first ride, the oldest one was like, nope.
All done.
And full tears. She got back on it later, was like, okay, it's not as bad as I thought. But that first day was just like, ooh, that's not good.
We really lucked out because we have two kids, and the one kid is like me and won't go on anything except for Haunted Mansion. And and then the other kid is like, yes, I'll go on the scary rides, Mom. And so Rachel and the oldest kid take off and they do everything fast and terrifying. And they come back like completely drained of all blood and pigmentation and grinning like idiots. And Molly and I are like, hey, we went on Haunted Mansion 1,000 times.
And had a churro.
But just the thing about Space Mountain is it's as far as roller coasters goes, it's okay. But what makes it seem more intense is that it's in the dark. You're in a dark room.
Yeah.
So
and everything's an inch away from
your
skull.
Is it just me? And it's been a while that I've had enough time to forget this. I can't remember if it was Disneyland or Disney World that did this, but there were like asteroids and like projections in the roof.
Yeah.
That would go by as you're riding through.
That was both of them.
Okay.
Yeah. So
I would do more roller coasters if they let me drive.
Next time we're there, we'll ask them.
Yeah. Well, you got me on Mr. Toad's.
I did. And what's great about Mr. Toad's Wild Ride is it's the only ride in the park that will take you straight to hell.
Right. But, yeah, Carrie took me to Disneyland when I was, like, 23, and I was scared of every ride because of childhood trauma. And
it's a small world. It takes you directly to hell, too.
How does it take you straight to hell?
Straight to hell.
I'm talking, there's heat, there's devils, there's flames. It's in Mr. Toad.
Yeah.
Wow, you're not wrong. Okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right.
Anyway. All right. Next story. The best sci-fi show that you're not watching is getting renewed.
Oh, my goodness. You guys, Carrie, you're not watching it either. You need to watch this show.
I'll get on it. I will.
Too much media.
After he doesn't watch The Expanse, he won't watch this.
See, there's so
less episodes of this. Watch this first. It's just phenomenal.
Here's the deal. For All Mankind is you're getting a fifth season.
Yes.
For Ron Moore's For All Mankind. Straight to series order. And then they're getting a spinoff called Star City.
Oh, so, those who know, they know.
Yeah, now see, this show takes place with the U.S. space program. Mm-hmm. Star City will be the Russian space program.
That's right. Cosmonauts.
Oh, hey, I watched this show.
Lee, you watch some of this show.
So oh, yeah, I fell asleep.
You need to watch more of it.
Here's what's the
women.
Here's what Ron Moore was saying. Our fascination with the Soviet space program has grown with every season of For All Mankind. Oh, no, this is the producer saying that. The more we learned about this secret city in the forest outside Moscow, where the Soviet cosmonauts and engineers worked and lived, the more we wanted to tell that story of the other side of the space race.
Yeah. Yeah.
This show, Carrie, you really would dig it.
I watched the first season, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
And you stopped?
Life got in the way. I'm sorry.
No, Carrie, life finds a way. So does this show. You should watch it.
I'll get there.
Wow.
And what's the other one that I need? The Expanse is the other one.
Well, The Expanse for the ship porn. Yeah. Oh. And also, there's no sound in space in this one.
Yeah, The Expanse is phenomenal as well.
When you see the ships fighting and they're just like firing hundreds of thousands of rounds a second, and there's no sound, and you just see things exploding, but there's no sound, and then you see bodies flying out, and there's no sound, and then the zombies come, and there's no sound. And
don't sell it so hard. For All Mankind first.
And Tom Jane's a detective.
Oh, Tom Jane's awesome in that show.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. I'm just glad he's working. Let's see.
Well, the show's over. He's not anymore.
Rob found this story for us. We have found Pa Kent. And there he is, Pruitt Taylor Vince.
Vincent D'Onofrio's cousin.
Is going to be Pa Kent. He is
not really.
He is an incredible actor in that he disappears into every role that he plays. He was in, of course, Bird Box, Natural Born Killers, Identity, Deadwood, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Stranger Things. But he will be Pa Kent. Huh. Now, when I told Gina about this, she goes, "That's terrible. He doesn't look like Pa Kent." And I said, "Well, you know."
Well, she's used to old hot Pa Kent.
Yeah.
Old hot Pa Kent.
Yeah. I mean, if you think about the movie versions of Pa Kent, they're all handsome men. You know.
I was going to say really Glenn Ford, but then Glenn Ford,
handsome dude.
First time, yeah.
Yeah. So, but in the comics, and Rob, you can back this up, Pa Kent is drawn as a little more, I don't want to say frumpy, but ordinary.
Well, it depends, because since the reboot, since the first DC reboot, they've made him younger, so he's not quite as ready to keel over at any minute.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
After I think it was Rebirth, they kind of gave him another de-aging. So he's, you know, give him late 60s maybe. So he's not, you know, 1 foot in the grave and one on a banana peel.
Mm-hmm. James in the chat room says, I remember this guy from Constantine. He was the drunken priest in Constantine. Oh.
Wow. I can't believe I lost to him. Yeah. So,
so closely.
Trivia time, Rob. Uh-oh. What were the Kent's parents, Ma and Pa Kent? What were their names in the George
originally?
Reeves? Yeah,
Eben and Sarah.
Oh my God, you're too
dang,
good.
Dude.
Wow. Damn. Oh, damn. I've been hunting off. For things. I've been hunting for things to try to stump you, and I'm like, there's no way he's getting this one.
Step
and,
off.
And you don't even have listen. To. He's just like, oh, yeah, Evan and Sarah.
Listen, I'm going to say something that may upset some people. But we, for a long time, at the beginning of this show, we had a guy who had an encyclopedic knowledge of comic books.
Yeah.
I'm going to say it. I think Rob may surpass.
Oh, no. Yeah,
Could you imagine like a
Jeff
a
called
comic
me last
off
night
between
complaining about it.
Oh, I could just imagine a trivia off between those two.
Yeah, no, Jeff called me from the Eternal Mighty Mighty Bosstones show that's playing where he's at. Yeah, and he's like, hey, I just got to say to Rob, kudos, sir. And then he said, what just happened?
All right, next story. I was talking about it earlier, the show Wednesday. I'm glad you found that photo.
Me too.
Steve
Hello,
Buscemi.
Fellow children.
Steve Buscemi is joining the cast of Wednesday.
Is now, he playing a fellow youth?
Well, that's the thing. Everybody immediately either made that joke or they said, which Adams is he going to play? Neither.
Oh, good.
He's not playing a child and he's not playing an
exactly.
Adams.
He will be the new principal of Nevermore Academy.
Oh.
I like this.
Because you remember the other principal, Gwendolyn Christie, she gone. If you watch the show.
But is she?
That's a good question.
We're led to believe she is.
Yeah.
Well, no, but at that very last scene, as they're driving away, you get a thing of like, oh, is she really gone?
Yeah. Well, maybe she'll come back. I don't know.
Did Cousin Ed ever show up?
I can't remember. I only made it like
half the season before he died.
I don't think so.
I don't think he did, no.
Oh, okay. Maybe it'll save him for the second season.
It's you ought to follow through with that, Lee. It's really not bad.
It's a fun one.
Yeah,
I like it when Tim Burton has guardrails.
Let's see more news. Tony, are you still watching The Witcher?
I dropped off.
Am I the only one who finished?
Hang on, what did you say earlier, Carrie? Life got in the way. That's my excuse. Yep.
That last
did you
season,
say life finds a way?
Life found a way to get in the way of me watching this.
I was grudge watching that season, and by the end of the last season, I'm pretty sure it was grudge watching me.
Netflix has announced the final two seasons of the show will film back to back, and that's it. So you get the fifth and final season of The Witcher. You got Liam, the lesser Hemsworth, stepping in for Geralt instead of Henry Cavill. It is in production. The final two seasons filming back to back. So
Geralt, not Geralt.
You've got some amazing stories that you can adapt from, and they did a really good job of that for the first couple seasons.
Yeah.
And then I don't know what was going on in that writer's room.
Yeah, the last season just got kind of meh. I mean, I'll go back and finish it for the next season.
You don't need to.
No, you don't think so?
No.
Maybe I'll read the Wikipedia article.
It's actually kind of hurdy. It's a little bit hurdy.
Really?
And I'm not one of those people that's like, oh, you have to follow the books or it's no good.
Right.
It's just like they tried to do some clever shit, but they weren't smoking the clever shit. So there's nothing clever about what they were doing. It was just like confusing. Mm. So anyway.
Yeah, it's LL. Thank you, Brett. LL Hemsworth. Liam Lesser Hemsworth.
But isn't there a third Hemsworth?
Yeah. Well, yeah. He's only been in a few things, but I guess he's better than Liam in Carrie's
eyes. Would he be the lesser is the question.
Because Liam gets work. The other lesser Hemsworth was on Westworld, right?
Yeah, no, I think the problem is you guys are addressing modern definitions of lesser, because it's like Pliny the lesser. In this case, it's Liam the lesser, so it's just Liam the younger.
Okay, so, fair.
Yeah.
That would have been Luke Hemsworth.
Luke is the other one, yeah. He is truly the lesser Hemsworth. That's right.
Suck it, Luke.
So it's the Hemsworth, the middle, and the minor.
Yes, exactly.
The greater, the minor. There we
Jeez.
Go.
All right.
Who oh, you forgot that? About you forgot about Schmengi Hemsworth. He's
Shemp Hemsworth.
Shemp Hemsworth. It's his nickname.
No, he greets people at the airport. When you come into Australia, he's
the Australia. Yeah. He's the guy. He wears a vest and everything.
Be greeted by a Hemsworth. Which one? You'll find out.
On behalf of Australia, I'm here to say G'day, mate.
G'day, mate. No, you can't find a shy here. It's out of the island.
There's your complimentary shrimp and Barbie over there.
Yeah. That was my worst Australian accent of all time. I wanted to be known.
All right. This next story I had to do a little research on. It's a freaking romance.
Oh.
Did you not get a picture for that one?
I numbered it wrong. Okay.
Oh, okay. It's fine. This one I had to do some research on, and I didn't realize, you don't know unless you know. This thing is huge.
Snail Lord
is the writer, creator, Snail Lords.
I'm sorry, that's the fifth Hemsworth.
Snail Lord Hemsworth.
Hello, me fellows. It's me, Snail Lord Hemsworth.
This is a webtoon, and it's a huge hit. Over 468 million views globally.
Wow. And that's just my sister.
Yeah.
She's a fan.
It has also been published in a hard copy graphic novel. The first volume is out now. Second will be released in June 2024. They're making this adaptation. Now, here is the plot. The story centers on a young woman named Lily who moves to the only place she can afford, a haunted apartment.
Ah,
like you do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. She soon discovers that the so-called ghost occupying the house isn't a paranormal apparition, but rather a man from another dimension. And before you know it, love that knows
sexiness ensues.
Yeah,
and exciting and new.
He's a hot K-pop star.
So, but this thing is apparently really popular, and Skybound and a bunch of people are getting together to make this movie. So,
which Hemsworth's in it?
Shemp
Hemsworth.
Christopher Hemsworth.
He got time off from the airport. No. And that's a good one. There is no Billy Hemsworth. You're thinking Baldwin.
Baldwin's.
In the comments. Yeah.
Baldwin Hemsworth? Never heard.
Listen, Baldwin Hemsworth. Yes.
If it's ever the Baldwins versus the Hemsworths, my money's on the Hemsworths, I have to say.
I'm going with the Baldwins. They tend to be loaded.
In more ways than one.
I'm writing down Baldwin Hemsworth.
Baldwin Hemsworth.
Baldwin.
All right. Now, go back to that other picture. From 1979, Sigourney Weaver, Ridley Scott, Alien, the original.
And a pair of tiny, tidy whities.
Yes, and I thank the Lord for them.
I had to explain this to my kid. Everybody wore those in 79. Everybody. That was the only style of underwear that existed.
Pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah.
45 years after its release, and yes, I was lucky enough to be there on opening day. It's your chance to see it on the big screen again. Nice. Coming back to theaters later this month. They're getting you hyped up for Alien Romulus, of course. But April 26th...
Which is a good thing.
Yeah, April 26th is when it's going to be playing. From what I understand, it's a cleaned-up print.
Ooh.
But if you haven't seen this on the big screen... It really is.
So here's a question, because you know that Disney likes to make money.
Yes,
they do.
If they're releasing this for, the 45th anniversary, and they have Romulus coming up in 3 months,
yeah,
would it not be reasonable to think that they would put at least one of the other sequel movies up leading into Romulus?
Maybe.
Just to go, do you remember this?
Maybe.
Maybe skip, what was it, 3?
Well, because Romulus takes place between this one and the second one, Aliens.
Oh, so then just release Aliens at Christmas.
Yeah.
There you go.
Because there's a 70-year stretch between those two movies.
Now, wasn't 3 the David Fincher one?
Yes.
Yes.
And 4 was the guys that did City of Lost Children, Delicatessen, and Micmacs, but they got so interfered with by Fox, they didn't get to make their weird-ass French movie.
Yeah, correct. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you did get to see the body banks with 13 yes. Ripleys.
Yes.
Which I thought was awesome and creepy at the same time.
And I remember reading some interviews with those guys a couple years after that movie going out saying, if you could have seen the movie we made, you would have been horrified. But I think Fox was like, this is too weird and too French.
So that right there, that's too French.
Like, did you not watch the movies of these guys you hired to do your Aliens movie, Fox?
We did, but
we thought they'd tone it down.
We thought we could rein them in.
Yeah. That person is smoking a cigarette on the end of a straw. Too French.
Yeah. Exactly. let's see. So go and see that. All right. This was a big story, not just in geek news, but it was kind of all over the place. There it is. Oh, those nacelles are a little warped bent, aren't they?
Okay. You do a 5-year mission. See how you feel.
Exactly.
So where's Scotty? Get him on that.
It was our first
warp buffer. Transporter buffer.
I'll just read this from IO9. It was our first look at the vision of Star Trek's future, the original ship model of the Enterprise that zoomed across the screen in the opening credits. Apparently, it got lost somewhere and disappeared, and then randomly turned up on eBay last fall.
What's this thing? Let's just sell it.
It's the first time that it had been publicly seen since it had gone missing. It was the original model of the Enterprise, made for the pilot, the Cage, and that's the opening title sequences. That's the one that you see. But it is now back in the hands of the Roddenberry estate. The eBay seller quickly learned just what they had on their hands. They just thought it was a model.
It'll stretch up the price.
The model was handed over to Heritage Auctions for authentication. It was confirmed to be the long-lost Star Trek icon held in storage until it could be handed over to Rod Roddenberry this past weekend. He said, after 5 decades, I'm thrilled that someone happened upon this historic model. I remember how it used to adorn my dad's desk. I'm tremendously grateful for Heritage Auctions.
I saw a picture of Denise and Michael Okuda with this model today. And it looks like Michael Okuda's about ready to poop his pants.
He's getting up there. But this was the prototype for what would become the primary original 11-foot shooting model of the Enterprise, which is now in the Air and Space Museum.
I mean, that's not exactly a tiny model either.
Yeah, that's a good-sized model.
Ottoman.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, it's about, it looks to be like maybe 2.5, maybe 3 feet.
Yeah.
And the guy that was trying
to
sell
it—the
guy that was trying to sell it on eBay—you get nothing.
I like that they have it mounted on one of those door stopper springs.
Yeah,
so that it wobbles.
But
for real life space action.
But yeah. Rod Roddenberry says that we got to figure out a way to share this with the fans. So they're trying to figure out a way to put together some sort of traveling museum display kind of a thing.
Oh, you know, they could put it in the back seat of the 66 Batmobile and tour them both.
I just think it's odd.
I'll be there.
I just think it's odd that they named their son Rod Roddenberry.
It's not.
It's Eugene, isn't
it's
it?
It's Eugene.
But he goes by Rod?
Because his dad is Gene, so he can't really
His dad was Gene. Also Eugene.
Okay. Roddenberry. I retract my statement. Carry on.
although on the credits for like Discovery, it is Eugene Roddenberry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's his professional name.
And Brett is right. Once it tours, it'll be $5 to touch it, $25 to lick it.
That's a deal if I've ever seen one.
It's the Barney Enterprise.
Sorry, I would pay $25 to lick the original shooting model of the Enterprise.
Yeah, I would.
Me and Adam Savage would be in a bidding war.
Yeah. I'd pay to see that.
He'd win. He has more money.
This was just an odd little story that's out there because Michael Douglas is out promoting his new. It's either a movie or a series where he plays Ben Franklin.
It's a series. On Apple TV Plus, I believe.
But he's out promoting it, and people are asking him about Ant-Man, of course. And he was quoted in an interview saying, "It was on The View." During a conversation, he was asked about his comments to The Hollywood Reporter about wanting his character in the Ant-Man franchise, Hank Pym, to be killed off in the third film. He said, "This actually was my request for the third one. I said I'd like to have a serious death with all these great special effects. There's got to be some fantastic way where I can maybe shrink to an ant size or and explode. I don't know what it is, but..."
Go up Thanos' rear end?
But
all things considered... Maybe it's best that he didn't, because, I mean, let's face it, Quantumania, not the best movie.
Yeah, you want that to be your swan song.
Go on to a good movie. Yeah, go on to a good, I mean, so MODOK, that's all I'm saying.
They ruined my favorite Marvel villain.
MODOK?
You didn't like Big Head MODOK?
No.
I'm honestly with you. I'm with you on that.
There's Big Head MODOK, and then there's Big Face MODOK. That was Big Face MODOK.
This is Big Face MODOK, yeah.
So I know the ending he wanted. He wanted him to get sucked into the quantum realm And then timey-wimey stuff happens. And when he wakes up, he's Detective Steve Keller in the streets of San Francisco.
And for Thank those you. Who are not familiar with what MODOK should look like.
Yes!
Well, now see, for
like
me...
Patton Oswalt with baby legs.
That stop-motion series that Patton Oswalt did.
Yeah.
To me, that's MODOK. That's, to me, the best representation that we've seen.
Yeah, that has a big face too, but somehow they still got it wrong mm-hmm. on the movie. I don't know because they
made him a joke, and he's smiling and laughing and being dumb. And really,
I mean,
MODOK
does laugh.
I was going to say MODOK.
Yeah,
is
but
a
maniacally.
Joke.
Yes.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Lee wants us to take MODOK seriously.
No, I want
MODOK wants you to take MODOK seriously.
I want MODOK to be played and performed seriously because then he's terrifying. Because that's the thing with MODOK is that if you play him straight, if you play him with all of the menace and the gravity, instead they're just like, oh, big head guy, ha ha ha, let's make joke. He's already stupid. Mm. So make him terrifying, and then he's great. And
but he is
Bizarro MODOK.
He is on record as saying, I won't do another movie unless I die in it. And to which I say, you won't be doing another movie because I don't think they're going to make another.
Or they back a bucket of cash up to him and go, here you go.
I have so many ways they could have made MODOK cool in that movie. Did they take my calls? No.
No.
Did they send a lawyer? Yes.
Yes. Now you know how I feel about, I can't remember his name in the Green Lantern movie that also has a giant head.
Hector Hammond.
Hector Hammond, yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
That could have made him cool, too.
Okay, sorry. I need to derail this for just a second.
Please.
So, Tony, because you're the only other GL fan here, they could have made that movie better by making it three.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah.
Hammond is the first villain.
Yes.
Move up to Sinestro, who gets the yellow ring at the end.
Bingo.
Make him your second villain. Then Parallax in the third movie. So you build up the scale.
With Kyle Rayner as the Lantern.
No, I would still keep Hal Jordan. I mean,
you could
I'm not
going to
say
Kyle.
John Stewart. Forget Kyle.
Well, bring
I'm a John
in,
Stewart guy.
Bring but, in no. Bring in John
oh,
Stewart
sorry.
In the second movie,
yeah.
and then have them both. And then in the third movie, bring in Kyle Rayner as well, and you can have a three lantern combo. It would have been
Guy
awesome.
Gardner before Rayner.
I'm
never.
I'm telling you right now, John Stewart needs to be your Green Lantern because to a generation of people who grew up on the cartoon,
he's the Green Lantern.
He's the Green Lantern.
So mm-hmm.
well, there's
so,
two him and Gnort.
And
you're fired.
And Chip.
Yes. Funny thing, Carrie, funny thing you mentioned that.
Yeah.
So when Neil Adams was here like 6 years ago or 7 years ago, went to go to the signing and which one did I get signed first? So I got Cover Date Birthday, Green Lantern, Green Arrow signed.
Mm-hmm.
And then the guys reminded me, you have your first John Stewart at home, ran home, ran back. Had him to sign that. And he tells me the story of them developing John Stewart.
Mm-hmm.
But he goes through the story of, you know, fighting with editorial, et cetera, because they've already got Guy Gardner as,
yeah.
as Hal's backup. And he's like, he needs to get hit by a bus. And then there's to be another replacement.
And that bus's name was Lobo.
But he's like, you know, so the story had an epilogue. They made a Green Lantern movie. It flopped. Because nobody knew who this guy was, because for the past 10 years, they've seen John Stewart, and Hal Jordan hasn't been seen since Super Friends.
Yep.
Exactly.
So he's like, yeah, that's on them. And I'm just kind of like, not bitter much, are you?
Neil, no.
Nah.
Never known for being.
So Andrew Kehoe, in our quote, in our message, says that Guy Gardner needs to be introduced only to be punched by Batman. I think the running joke throughout the mid to late 80s into the 90s was like once a year
at least,
Lobo would crash into whatever building Guy Gardner was in looking for Superman so that he could fight him and instead mm-hmm. would just punch out Guy Gardner. And it was like there was that. And concurrently over in Marvel, there was always this bit where Peter David was writing Hulk. Once a year, Ben Grimm would be on a date. Out on the town doing a thing, and Hulk would just show up, beat the crap out of him, and leave with no explanation.
Want to fight him, yeah.
Yeah.
So the other Guy Gardner thing is, guy's from Baltimore. Not my favorite Lantern, but he's a fellow Baltimorean.
Yeah,
so
there you go.
Fair.
I got to give him a little bit of props.
All right. Be more. Right.
And
Be more.
And we do have the best Guy Gardner casting of all time coming up. So,
yes.
Yeah. I couldn't ask for a better Guy Gardner.
Yes. All right. Final story, and then we'll get to what we consume this week. And, you know... I was I was a show me what you got person with this new Naked Gun movie until
you said
this
was.
Story.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I was like, you know, because, I mean, you look at the people behind it. I mean, you got Akiva Schaffer directing. The script is by Dan Greger, Doug Mann, and Akiva Schaffer. They did the Chippendales Rescue Rangers movie, which is hilarious.
Highly underrated.
Yes. And Seth MacFarlane's producing. And so you have all these great people behind it, but then they cast the love interest, and it's Pamela Anderson.
That's Pam Anderson?
Yeah.
I know, right? Okay. That's I dropped out.
Time comes for us all.
Yes. Well, she decided
Speak
a little
for
while. She decided a little while back she doesn't want to get all glammed up anymore. She wants
to
go
good
more
for her, and she shouldn't have
natural.
To be.
Yeah.
Oh, she's made that conscious decision.
Yeah.
Oh,
okay.
And good for her. I'm just saying, I mean, Liam Neeson doesn't look like he did either. So, you know,
Well, I was going to say, the main character is finally dating someone closer to his age. I still think there's a fairly large age gap between those two.
And I can only speak from experience. I got bit by a Benjamin Button, so I'm aging backwards. But
because Liam's late 70s?
I'm going to look right now.
He's 104.
Yeah. Look up.
So Liam he's 206. Neeson is...
I want to say 78, 79.
I don't think he's that old. Come on now.
It's 104.
1952 was when he was born.
And Pamela Anderson is 1967.
Okay, so there's a 15-year age gap
he's
there.
72.
Yeah.
But they're both well into the age of, these people are old and they're dating. Meh.
But, it was her casting that I went, I'm out. Sorry.
Maybe she's been taking lessons. You don't know.
Oh, Carrie, we loved her in Barbed Wire. Why won't we give her another chance?
I almost grabbed a picture of her from Barbed Wire for this, and I was like, nah, let's show her what she looks like now.
You know, Stan Lee really wanted to work with her in 94.
I'm sure he did.
Yeah. Stripperella?
Yeah.
Stripperella. That's the one.
I don't know if it was 94. It was 90-something. Stan at that time was just like, is there an exotic actress I can attach my name to? Tell me what Kylie Minogue's up to right now.
I hear good things about that Pam Anderson.
Yeah.
Andrew in the chat room. Well, if there's a nice beaver joke, we can... Well.
And done.
Meow. I feel scandalized.
That's what it took?
Excelsior. Yes. All
right. 47 minutes into this, and now you feel scandalized?
No, 16 years in, and I finally had enough.
All right. That's funny. Who wants to go first? What did you consume this week?
I'll go.
Okay.
So Robert. I finally saw Wonka.
Oh, that's pretty.
And it was...
Uh-oh.
No. I could see it leading up to Gene Wilder. It was fun.
I liked it.
I wasn't aware there's going to be quite as musical as it was.
Me neither. Because
there was a
still
lot of songs.
It. Yeah.
That's what Hollywood does now, is
so
they trick you.
Yeah, Rob, I sat down and they started in with a musical, and I looked to my wife and I said, how dare you? But it turned out I enjoyed it.
I had the same reaction.
We were sitting there, and Sarah looks at me and just goes, so it's a musical. I'm like, didn't know. But it was fun. I mean, Paul Atreides did a great job.
Yes.
It was whimsical and witty, which you expect from a Wonka movie.
A good cast, I thought.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. And it was definitely entertaining.
Mm-hmm. You didn't hate it, is what you're saying.
No, not at all.
You know.
No.
You didn't embrace it, but you didn't hate it. You know.
I experienced it.
Yeah, exactly. That's how I felt about it. It washed over me. I didn't hate it. You know.
Let's see what else. X-Men 97.
Oh, yeah.
And man, they are not pulling punches. And I'm loving it.
Yeah.
Discovery. And I discovered I'm a week behind. I'm like, wait a minute. There's another episode after this? Oh, crap. Okay.
Oh, and it's a good one.
It's really good this season.
It's technically a bottle episode this one, but it's good.
I loved it.
And I've got to say, Rayner, there was an article I read saying, how are they going to solve their two-captain problem? They took that completely off
He's
the table,
commander.
Which was great. Yeah, they demoted him and made him a commander, and it was great. But I loved his interactions with Tilly this week because she's just like, so you're going to meet this person? He's like, no, not really, but I got it, so all right.
Yeah.
And that pays off in the episode that you didn't watch yet.
Okay.
And not only that.
But it paid off for me in this episode because you watch him in whatever they call their 10 forward. Mm-hmm. And he's talking to Tilly and he's like, this person says this and likes this. This person likes this, which he got in 20 words or less. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, damn, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. But he reminds me of Shelby.
Yep.
In a very not quite likable person when you first meet them. But then you realize they are damn effective at what they do, and they know their job.
Exactly.
And that was what I've been waiting for, just to kind of see, like, if with Saru gone, how are you going to fill that gap? And I like what they did.
Then this next episode is really going to pay off for you.
Awesome.
Yeah.
With dividends.
Let's see.
Yeah.
Fallout. So I finally got to episode 4.
Oh, you're only on episode 4?
Oh, the rest of us have finished it.
So much stuff coming up.
Oh, Rob, it's so good.
How many of you have young kids?
Oh, that's right.
I know exactly what you're talking about. There's a whole period of media that I missed.
Yep.
Because my kids are 4 years apart, and so it was like, okay, well, if I'm watching this at all, it's going to be at 2 a.m, and I got to be up at 6 with these same children. So, yeah.
So, yeah. You know, a lot of media, so I'm doing what I can. Comics run really quick.
Oh, yeah. What'd you get?
So.
It's one of my favorite parts here.
Ultimate Black Panther.
Oh,
introducing Storm. Well, not introducing, but featuring Storm and Killmonger, and they are not the Storm and Killmonger you're used to, which is great.
That looks great. Okay,
and it's written well, it's drawn well.
Here we go.
Wonder Woman 8.
Oh, bring that!
And I'm loving the story still.
I love that cover.
Yeah, and it's story.
What is going on in that cover? Who's behind her?
That looks like
character called the Sovereign, who's basically the unknown king of America.
Mm. Oh,
the Patriots.
Nightwing, which is a 113, but Legacy issue 300.
Wow, another great cover.
I love
they're
knocking
them out of the park with these covers.
I love that they're doing the rotoscope on that.
And this is just kind of like, I don't know if I call it little bit self-contained issue, but it's also carrying through a couple of different storylines, just small plot points. Mm-hmm. But one of the fun thing is you get to see Dick, Tim, and Damien fighting together at the beginning of the story. And it's like they're all getting along and they're letting Damien a little bit off the chain. Like they're doing a good Robin, bad Robin. And it's hilarious.
Oh, that's great.
That's awesome.
And closing in on the end of the Fall of the House of X, Dead X-Men number 4.
Oh.
And stuff happens. I'm not going to ruin it. Go get it. Read it, consume it, enjoy it.
All right. Can't
wait. Excited.
There you go.
Can I go, Curry?
You may.
I will make it quick. Fallout, easily in my top 10 television series of all time.
Agreed.
Ooh, really? Okay.
Because they did one thing, and they did one thing very, very well. It feels like you're playing the game.
Fallout, the TV show, is, in my opinion, the best Fallout story Fallout's ever done.
Yes.
Really?
Games included, all of that jazz.
Yeah, and I see what's happening. This got me excited. I went on, got the Steam Fallout sale and filled in the rest of my collection and actually started playing Fallout 76.
Really?
Someone was trying to deter me from 76 saying, well, you know, it's an MMORPG. And I'm like, well, tell me something bad.
So what you're saying is I need to get this for one of my media or one of my consoles and enjoy it.
I just do it on my PC because the games that I currently play will destroy computers. Fallout, it'll be fine.
No, it's old.
Watch the first half of the Steve Martin documentary, which I thoroughly enjoyed.
That was nice, wasn't
because
it?
I was a little kinder when he was becoming the greatest comedian of all time.
You look nothing like Tesselhoff Burfoot.
Yeah.
Listen, when I was in high school, we were quoting lines from his albums, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how big he was. And it showed, you know, it reminds
me. Now I have to ask my dad, this is a little piece of trivia that that Carrie might enjoy, and perhaps Rob. My dad was a studio musician on the Smothers Brothers show.
Oh.
So
cool.
I'm wondering if his extreme dislike of 70s Steve Martin came from that period of time. I don't know. Mm. I have to ask. Because every time Steve Martin came up, this is a quote, squirrely fucker.
Is that what he would say every time?
And I'd be like, what? And so then, you know, there's this period of time in the early 80s where my dad's going to talk to all of his old musician buddies, and we end up at Quincy Jones's studio, mm-hmm. and we're like, what's going on here? Why is my dad talking to Quincy Jones? I know him. He produces Michael Jackson. And that's when I found out about the Smothers Brothers thing. So
here's the thing about the second half of the doc.
It's completely different, isn't it?
It's like a completely different doc.
Cool.
It's like
Cool.
A completely different approach.
Yeah.
And it focuses more on Steve today.
Wow.
Yeah.
X-Men 97. This was wild because it's Life Death Part 2.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also probably the deepest they've gone into the Shi'ar Empire.
Yeah.
And Gladiator's doing his best Superman.
Yes.
And I loved it.
Well, I mean, he's Superboy. Duh.
Exactly. I really want Kid Gladiator to show up at some point because he's so good. He's so good because he literally eats popcorn to watch his dad fight people. But I realized something. Like, you can raise your children with the Holy Scriptures and the great texts, but if you forgot to introduce them to the Shi'ar, you're going to have a lot of explaining to do after this most recent episode. Mm-hmm. So why, what with the bird people there? What
they're, why did they say they lay eggs?
But then at one point I'm like, that's Lee Pace. That's Ronan the Accuser.
Yeah.
Yeah. Were you paying attention? So, Discovery. Oh my God. Time Bug. Thank you. I love it when you mess with things like you did Discovery. So Chef's Kiss. Also, thank you for mentioning a certain war that hasn't been mentioned since Enterprise.
Oh, really?
Good job, Discovery.
Yes.
Good
job. Oh, really?
It was delicious.
And finally, the greatest piece of media that I've consumed in several years, Hot Ones with Conan O'Brien.
Yes!
It's so good!
Did you watch all of them?
Yes.
Okay, I still have one more to go.
It is the most awkward thing you will ever see. This pasty Irishman chugging the hottest hot sauce known to man and then rubbing it on his nipples.
He doesn't flinch for the first 8 sauces.
No.
Which there's several people out there that have done, you know, not flinching. Halle Berry didn't even change the facial expression when she went through it.
Yeah.
You know, there's a couple of folks that have never, you know, they didn't even flinch. But you didn't think he was going to flinch. And at the end, he turns into a lunatic. And it is hilarious.
He's just literally like higher than hell on capsaicin. And he's got chunks of chicken dribbling out of his mouth and
it's
snot.
Disgusting.
And he's drinking milk. And he's like Bishop the Ash the Android from Alien. And rubbing his nipples with hot sauce. And I was just like, this is literally a master. And the whole time, he's also aping like comedians from the 30s and 40s. And I'm just going,
oh my gosh.
He's a genius. So on my list is his new travel show on Max, which I hear is amazing.
Which I will talk about.
Thank you, Carrie. I knew you wouldn't let me down.
I thought that's what you were referring to.
Okay. And like Kyle said, putting the bones in his pockets.
Yeah. He rubbed one of the hot sauces all over his hands like lotion later on. It's just like,
and when he's doing this. and then he uncorks a bottle and starts chugging from it. And I'm like, no.
Yeah.
Brett wants to know where the Steve Martin documentary is.
I think it was Apple. Yeah, it was
Apple sounds right. Yeah,
Apple or Hulu, one of those.
And it was interesting because at first I thought they were mining old Steve Martin dialogue, but I think he did the narrative for it.
Yeah, there was a lot of recordings.
Yeah. But it gets into like his time at Disneyland and doing the Magic Act and the magical banjo act.
I realize that she's not here to defend this, but I wonder if we should get Rebecca to watch that special and then juxtapose that with the Shatner one that she sat through.
Oh, yes. Mm. See which one. Yeah,
I have a feeling she'd say anything is better than that Shatner one.
Probably, but still.
Yeah.
That's an interesting one. Anyway, Tony.
Let's see. I mean, ongoing praise for Fallout. Just absolutely phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
I am so glad they already announced the second season, like you said, because the way the first season ends, it wraps up nicely, but they leave it super wide open for
and Ella Purnell
more story.
Steals that show. Everybody's singing the praises of Walton Goggins, but that's her show.
Yeah,
and,
but I think that they both play. I think that they play off each other very well.
That's the thing. Is
where I am so far.
The guy that plays Maximus, I can't remember his name, the actor, but he's also phenomenal.
He's so good.
I see nothing but big things for those two kids.
That's the thing. Everything in that show just gelled together just so well. All the performances, all of the storyline, all of the set decoration, like everything. The effects, everything. Anyway, I am also loving Star Trek Discovery / The Goonies. It is a fantastic season as they traipse across the universe looking for treasure. And I'm one episode behind as well. What?
I like the bad guys.
Oh, yeah, they're interesting.
Like
Shin Hadi and the other guy?
Yeah, the lady that's playing Maul is taking all of her character beats from Pris, Daryl Hannah's character from Blade Runner.
Yeah, you're right.
I'm watching her and I'm just going, I've seen this. I know who she's playing. And
okay. And I will easily concede that because I was seeing her more as Shin Hadi from Ahsoka.
Yeah,
in her, in her mannerisms.
But I also think she's aping a little bit of Pris from Blade Runner too. So
What the guy that plays the what do they call him? Maul. Yeah, so the first episode he was in, I was like, freaking hey, I know that voice. And he plays one of the main characters in Starfield, that new that new game from Bethesda that came out earlier this year. So that's, if you heard his voice and you're like, that sounds really familiar, that's why.
Yeah.
Sam Coleman, I think, is the name of the character he played. Anyway, but yeah, and then last and definitely least, we tried to watch Tracker on Paramount.
God, it's huge.
It's terrible.
It's getting ratings like crazy. They've already renewed it. You know,
we're going to give it one more episode because we watched the first one, but I don't have anything against Justin Hartley. He's fine. He does a fine job for what he's given in that show, but every minute I'm watching that show, I'm just thinking, I wish this was Reacher.
Don't be surprised that it's as huge as it is. Rachel worked the call center at Netflix for about 4 months, and as she calls it, the darkest time of her life.
Yeah.
And every day, they were inundated with old people wanting to know how they can make Longmire work.
See,
the number one show according to old people on Netflix was Longmire.
Well, and Tracker just feels like a watered down Reacher, like really watered down.
Yeah.
So like the Tom Cruise Reacher movies.
Not that watered down.
So here's the thing about Jack Reacher. 6'6" and ripped as hell, so Tom Cruise should play him.
Perfect. Get him in there. That's it for me.
Let's see. John in the chat room wants to know what time we start. He said, I'm joining late. We start 11:30 Saturday, Mountain Time.
Every Saturday.
On the nose, unless we're late.
That's right.
All right. Let's see. Of course, we've talked about Time Bug. Discovery, Sonequa on Sonequa action. I was all for it. She's so good. She's just
How did they get her from 7 years ago?
And how good of an actress is she that she can channel that character, because that character has evolved.
Oh, for sure. A lot. Yeah.
So just how good is she?
I'm upset with that show though, because when Book took his shirt off, my wife stopped breathing for like 2 minutes.
Well, I mean, look at her.
Let's see. I'm also watching on CNN. It's an older docuseries, but they're rerunning it called Vegas, The History of Sin City.
Ooh.
And it's pretty fascinating. Pretty fascinating.
When was it made?
It was about a year ago, I think.
Oh, okay.
But it's fascinating to look back at the history of that town, because it just kind of sprung up out of the desert, just from nowhere, and became
Money laundering's a lucrative business,
and there's that.
I want to know how many bodies are in the foundations of casino buildings. You know, probably
more than you think.
A good number.
Well, don't you watch CSI? They go over this like every week.
Yeah. Don't you watch?
Oh,
FBI?
I'm sorry. You have to be a person of a certain age.
I was
going to
say.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. I'll start watching CSI after I finish Tracker, and I don't think that's going to happen.
Don't you watch FBI? FBI: The Next Generation and FBI Voyager.
Wait a minute.
One of the amusing parts I saw was, you know, it reminds you, because the young folks don't know what a big name Liberace was.
Oh yeah,
at one time.
George.
He was, and we talked about Michael Douglas earlier. Find that biopic, the Liberace biopic, where Michael Douglas plays Liberace, and it's a Matt Damon as his boyfriend in it. They're both great, but huge celebrity Liberace was, and the denial in the nation that he was gay.
My grandfather. I mean, I'm paraphrasing.
Yeah.
Lee Z, everybody says he's a fruit. He's not a fruit. He's the straightest guy I've ever seen.
I remember he would be on the Tonight Show, and you could tell Johnny knew.
Yeah.
And it was like, so Lee, you're a confirmed bachelor, is that right?
that was the code phrase back then, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So you haven't found the right one yet, have you?
I think I have. I think Cary Grant surprised some people, but Liberace, no. It's like Jim J. Bullock, when Rock that Hudson. Was not a surprise. Yeah.
Rock Hudson surprised people. But there's a great part where, you know, they explain you get the big axe in Las Vegas because then the whales come and they're the big spenders. Mm-hmm. And the thing about the Liberace show was that the whales, the men, the husbands were out playing while their wives were there swooning over right. Liberace, you know.
That's why you get those attendance shows like Celine Dion. And yeah, they need to have mm-hmm. a draw. Yeah. When I worked in table games, we always saw that where you'd get the high roller would come in and like the most annoying thing to him wasn't that he lost $100,000. It's that his wife was bored.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Wow. But there's a great scene where there's a scene of Liberace's show and he did all kinds of amazing things on stage. You know, he'd drive his Rolls Royce out onto stage and all that. And, you know, talking about his furs and all that. And he goes down front to these rich old ladies, you know, who are there just swooning. And he says, oh, let me see your diamond, darling. Let me see that. Oh, that's lovely. You see mine?
And no one could tell.
You see mine? Luckily, I didn't have to do anything untoward to get it.
Whoa, okay.
Wow.
He was a very funny man. Anyway. So there's that. But the thing that I did enjoy the most this week, and it is Conan O'Brien related, if you have the Max, it's a four-part series. I'm sure they're going to do more.
It's only four?
Darn. I think it's only four. Yeah, I could be wrong. Conan O'Brien Must Go is the name of it. And it's a travel show. And what he does is, you know, on his podcast, Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend, occasionally they will have just fans call in from all over the world. And what he's done is he's kept track of these people. And he's surprising them.
Oh, wow.
He goes to the Netherlands, you know, he goes to Thailand, which was the funniest episode, surprises this girl and her mother. And, you know, then he does a little kind of a travel show throughout Thailand, but he's mostly man on the street stuff, which is where he excels.
Yeah.
His man on the street stuff. He does. And no, I don't think there's anybody in the business that does it better right now than Conan. But a funny, funny show. So go and take a look at it. He did Argentina, and I think we're going to finish today with Ireland.
That's where he's from.
His ancestry is from. So Conan O'Brien Must Go. Very funny stuff.
Yeah, I can't wait to watch that.
So go ahead. Do you have games, Tony, before we go?
Nah.
All right.
Go play Fallout. That's all anybody else is doing
I started Fallout New Vegas yesterday after I finished the TV show.
Yep. Did you mod it up or are you just playing it easy breezy?
I'm just going to play it just how it is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right. So thanks for being there, you guys. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. You know, our podcast people, thank you very much. We'll see you next week. But those of you who are Patreons can join us here in a few moments. We're headed to the after party. It's exclusive to our Patreon members. Join us. You can watch it at your leisure, but join us live.
Sometimes it's great sociological conversation, but mostly it's us talking about food because we're hungry.
It happens sometimes, yeah.
Yeah.
GeekshowGotThisCovered.com is the link to our Patreon site. It's only Tree Fitty. That's it. Tree Fitty! All right. Live long and prosper, bitches.